Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Want to give a shout out to all of our listeners and viewers from all around the world. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today on today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Wow. We have been mentioning in previous programs about Israel and how the Secretary of State is coming back and, you know, just came back Monday as of this broadcast and is headed back this week to continue to negotiate and broker some sort of, you know, peace deal with the Palestinians and to get some land agreement swap. And it's like, listen, everyone is saying this is not good. This, you know, everyone can clearly see that you can't keep giving land, especially land that's going to make Israel indefensible. Indefensible means they can't defend themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like inviting the enemy into your yard and saying, you know, oh, we're going to live at peace. You got to have some distance. You know what I mean?
Right. There's a fence here for a reason.
For a reason. We stay here, you stay there, and it's like tearing down your fence and saying, come on over, here's some more of my yard, or, you know, like, no, this is not good. And we're encouraging you. We're encouraging you to stay alert. Don't become weary with news articles that you're hearing, and just because you hear Israel mentioned, and there's a point that you can sometimes, you know, hear something so often that you begin to discredit it, or you don't focus that much upon it because you think they're going to keep talking about it or you can miss. No, listen, everything matters. If you notice, a lot of the, you know, laws get passed right during the holiday season when no one's paying attention. It's like, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention.
Right.
And we want to encourage you to support organizations, ministries that support Israel. CUFI is a great one, Christians United for Israel. They are one of the largest pro-Israeli American groups, you know, in the world. I think it's reported that John Hagee himself with Christians United, he founded this organization. I think they raised something like $86 million for Israel.
Oh, wow.
And that's a beautiful thing. It speaks a lot to the Jewish people when they see that it's not just with words. It's not just, you know, saying these little speeches or anything, but it's actually with love and love with action. We're showing it. So we want to encourage you to do so. But we have this video that we want to play for you. It will be available for you on The Torch, and we'll make sure that this segment is related as well. But they've done a fine job, an excellent job with this video, detailing and showing and explaining with awesome accuracy and detail, giving you the visual so that you can see, listen, if we give up this land, this is what this means. It means that we become indefensible and we will not be able to protect ourselves. So we want to make sure that you get a chance to get this, and another producer is working on it. But stay alert. I want you to listen up.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Wow, I think that settles it. I think that's plain.
Yeah.
Listen, let's stand with Israel. Be informed, support those who stand with the apple of God's eye. Psalms 122 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Listen, we are blessed when we stand with Israel. Mm. We're blessed.
Wow.
We're blessed. And so we just want to remember that and add that to your prayer list. And remember, four blood moons are coming. These are very, very serious days in which we're living in. But the one who doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber is on watch, and we can rest secure in that. Well, you know, Pat, I was abiding and reading the Bible, and I came across a scripture, and one that I'm familiar with, and I'm sure you are too. But in Matthew 6, talking about Jesus and him coming back to his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a hometown, and you go to Facebook, and people say this is where they live, but this is where they were born, or, mm-hmm. This is their hometown. And this hometown was Nazareth. And as I read the scriptures, I'm just amazed at how extremely popular Jesus was without trying to be popular. Today, so many people seem like they want to be popular, they want name, they want some sort of recognition, and Jesus was always saying, don't tell them what happened, don't tell them it was me, And yet people followed him everywhere he went. Mm-hmm. There was large crowds. However, that wasn't the same situation in his own hometown. He went all across Israel, all across different cities and different towns, and many, many, many came by the droves to hear his teaching, to receive deliverance and healing, and they were very impacted by his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this town, this town of Nazareth, was a different scenario. And I think that we can learn a lot about Nazareth, and we can learn a lot about what Jesus was able to do and not able to do. But Mark 6 says this, that Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who had heard him were amazed. This was a natural occurrence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brothers of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?
Mm.
And then the next verse of scripture says, and they took offense at him.
Wow.
I never read that particular verse before. I've read or don't remember it, rather.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and they took offense with Jesus now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to them, only in his hometown among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor.
Wow.
This is what Jesus said. Only in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed, not at their faith, but at their lack of faith.
Right.
Now, in one account, he tells the centurion, in all of Israel, I've never seen any faith like this.
Mm-hmm.
But in his hometown, Nazareth, he was amazed, but he was amazed for a different reason. He was amazed because they lacked faith. And I often wonder, how is it that we can so quickly lose perspective? It's like, really? You know, the Bible, you know, tells us that the student is not above his master. And if they treated Jesus this way, I mean, you know, if they treated Jesus this way, why? Why would we expect anything different? You know, at least the same, if not worse, right?
Right.
And so I believe we can learn a lot from this. We're living in a crucial season on earth and for the church. And the battles that lie ahead are serious. And basically, it necessitates that we live in a continual place of humility and honor towards all mankind, especially the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important that we get this on the inside of us, because what we're getting ready to face, listen, anything that's sticking up, that's not bowed over, is going to get chopped down.
That's right.
You know, you got to stay low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place is lower still. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about this, because I believe that there are some key things that we can learn from these verses of scripture that will help us not miss the move of God that God's getting ready to bring. And listen, we're believing for a third great awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Right, get ready, because it is coming. The question is, are you going to be in it, and are you going to be touched by it when God touches your region, your city? Because we believe that this move of God is going to spread around the entire nation.
Mm.
But will you be in it? When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you come up with a good time for a curfew for your teen? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Well, here's psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman, who realized that that question was best answered by his teenager.
Some people are surprised to learn the Lehman kids, all five of them, they never had a curfew. And people say, well, what do you mean they didn't have a curfew? Well, let me try it again. They never had a curfew. They didn't like it because they'd always ask the question.
Because they'd always come home earlier than you would.
Oh, they'd always ask the question, Dad, what time do you be home? You'll be home at a reasonable hour. They hated that. They'd rather have me say, you'll be home at 1 a.m. or you're going to turn into a pumpkin. But we didn't. We put that tennis ball of life on their side of the court. But we also expected the best of them.
Empowering your teen to make their own choices while still under your roof helps them launch into adulthood more easily. And you'll hear more trusted advice from Dr. Kevin Lehman today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
If you've been claiming to be a believer walking in the light, bring clarity to your life. Listen, you're going to answer alone. Quit trying to... Just you and God. Bring some clarity to your life and check. Everybody say, check yourself. To see if you are in the faith. Check yourself to see if you're in the light. Quit making false claims. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, which means Christ follower, by the way, but walk in darkness, decide today if you're ready to give your life to Jesus or back to Jesus. It's that simple. I mean, clarity just comes. Like, hey, I decided whose side I'm on. To begin walking in the light of God, the truth, no longer walking in darkness, walking in the light as He walked in the light. No more lying, right? And who we're lying to anyway? And if you're a Christian and I lied to you and you know I lied to you and you let me lie to you, the best witness you can do to me, you go, you liar. You're walking in darkness. I love you, honey. Right? That kind of stuff. I mean, the worst thing you do is agree with them because you think I'm really believing this? Right? They need to know that you didn't. Sometimes we empower darkness by acting like saying nothing. I love you, but you know this is wrong what you're doing. You better hope that you have more life than sin because you die in this thing, right? If you die in this thing, it's not going to be good for you. And you just don't know how long your life's going to be. Which means not only to say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but to learn His commands, His ways, and obey them. To love your Father. If He's your Father, where's His honor? If He's your Father, how come you don't look like Him? How come you don't talk like Him? How come you don't walk like Him? Everybody say who your daddy is. Who your daddy is. I believe that's what God's saying to the American church. Because you're saying that God's your dad. Right? It's good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. We were talking before the break about, my goodness, Nazareth. Jesus was extremely popular throughout all of Israel, and great crowds came to visit Jesus and welcomed His ministry and received from His ministry thousands upon thousands. And He'd go from one place and they'd get in a boat and go to another place. And when He arrived in the boat, they were there. They were waiting for Him.
All right.
And they were hungry to receive. They were ready to receive. Yet this one town, and of all places, the hometown, had a different approach and a different response. I mean, oftentimes you hear a message and it's like, you know, there's 50 people, 100 people, 5 people, I don't know, 1,000 people. And it's like, you know, why did that one message, you know, affect 50 or 25 and these three didn't? Or it's like, was it the message? Was it what God had to say? Or was it the individual? You know what
right.
I mean? And so we're so quick, if our heart's not in the right place, to discredit the message and the messenger, then we are to look at our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. They were discrediting the message and the messenger without even looking at their own lives. And we can learn a lot from this. These people here in Nazareth, these folks right here, they had a recipe, a strategy for how not to welcome a move of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
This is what you do when you how you not welcome a move of God in your city, in your region, in your own personal life. They were prideful. They were critical. They were judgmental. And you know what? They were probably jealous and envious of Jesus. They were full of pride. They were looking for ways to discredit and find ways not to believe the amazing move of God before them. And it's like, really? I mean, it takes more effort to be critical and prideful than to actually receive receive God and what He's trying to do. You know, what you allow Him to do in your life. Because, you know, God is the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. God's not going to force Himself upon you. Mm-hmm. You have to, by choice, invite God and make room for Him. And when you do that, God steps on in. But He stands at the door and knock. He doesn't stand at the door and walk in. Mm-hmm. He doesn't kick the door down. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, waiting for you to respond. And He'll knock. And the question is how long are you going to have Him waiting? And, you know, the more I look at this, they were more willing to defend what they knew, their doctrines, their beliefs, their little two verses of scriptures that they memorized, you know what I'm saying, the book that they read, you know.
Right.
Then, of course, you know, being able to receive. They were so tied and married to their biases that they couldn't receive what Jesus was doing in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And mainly because it didn't fit their paradigm. It just did not fit their paradigm. They spoke judgments over Him and His ministry, resulting in basically them losing the very blessing that was intended for them to receive. It's like, oh my goodness, you're messing this up. The blessing, the blesser is coming your way. Some on the side of the road would pound their chest and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. But you, as God is touching you and moving you and coming in your life, you're rejecting the prophetic word. You're rejecting the warning. You're seeing with warped vision the warning as some sort of chastisement or ridicule. No, listen, God's loving on you. Mm-hmm. The move of God is coming into your heart. But you know, you got to make room for it. You can't defend your position or what you think you know. And I've learned, you know, if I've learned anything through my own experiences with God and through what I've seen in the scriptures, that God moves in a way that I necessarily wouldn't move. He does things that I necessarily wouldn't have done. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, if it was me, you know, I just wouldn't have the Son of God be born in a manger. I mean, the Savior of the world, I just wouldn't have done that, you know?
He's so out of our box.
Isn't he?
I mean, he's just out there.
I mean, it's like, I would have done that.
All right.
But God had a plan. Mm-hmm. In His ways, the Bible says His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He lives in a paradigm and in a space that's completely outside of us. He's outside of our mind. He's outside of our thinking. He's outside of our judgments. And if you're trying to bring God down into your mind, you're going to be frustrated. We have pea-shaped minds. I know I do. And the biggest struggles I've ever had is trying to get a God, you know, my paradigm of God wrestled down to my little stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to accept the fact that God lives outside of our ability to figure Him out. And quite honestly, I don't want to serve a God that I can figure out. Mm. How big is that God?
Not very.
Not big, because I mean, my brain's really small, you know?
Yeah, we know.
Hey,
look at that hat.
I'll be the first one to tell you. You got to check out the hat. So, I wouldn't have had the Son of God be born in the manger. But hey, what do I know, right? Or the 12 disciples Jesus selected? I mean, really, we probably would be like, Jesus, we need to be on your disciple selection committee. We need to help you out in this, okay, Lord? I mean, we're talking about 12 future apostles here. I mean, listen, this is serious business. Certainly there are some resumes we need to collect. We need to review their education. Where did they study? Are they under some sort of great teacher? I mean, obviously, we're looking for some really 12 important, and there's only 12. We only have room for, there's not 1,000 disciples. Jesus was, you know, there's 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Future apostles, Pat. Yeah. And we would have had some, I mean, serious, you know, let's get a talent search out, you know. And we probably wouldn't have selected tax collectors. And I, you know, I would probably say that, you know, simple fishermen wouldn't have been on the top of my selection committee. I probably would not have done that. And see, that's the difference. Many today are operating totally out of their heads when it comes to the things of God. It's all outside of your head. It's all outside of trying to figure God out and what you would do instead of what would Jesus do.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at what Jesus did. He didn't collect the resumes. He didn't put a selection committee for the future apostles and talent search out. He prayed to the Father, and he inquired and sought out the will of the Father. And after he spent time with the Lord, after he spent time with God, the Father, he knew what he was supposed to do. Listen, we got to get out of our minds. We got to start trying to, you know, boil God down to what we can figure out and what we think and our biases and say, listen, we want to do it God's way. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more and more about this in the next program, and we're going to share more about what we can learn and how we can make room in our hearts for a move of God. You don't want to miss it. Join us in our next program. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to give a special shout out to all of our VFN radio listeners and viewers all around the world. My name is John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in studio is the one and only Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. You know, in our previous programs, Pat, we were talking about how Jesus, who touched people all over Israel, mm-hmm. and how people came in droves to hear him and be ministered by him and receive of his ministry, and they were amazed by the things that Jesus did. He was extremely popular, even though Jesus wasn't trying to be popular, not like some today. He wasn't even trying to be, he was just trying to be, oh, he was being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't trying, he was obedient to the Father. Yet in this one town, this one city, his hometown no less, he couldn't do any miracles. Just lay a couple hands on folks, because they were judgmental, they were critical of him. And you know, we before we took our break, we talked about, at the end of that program, we talked about how, you know, God's ways are above our ways. And I said that if, you know, there's a lot of things that I see in the scriptures that if it was me, I would have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the more I experience God and the more that I see in scripture that God totally operates outside of my paradigm, you know, what I would have thought to do. You know, one was, you know, Jesus being born in a manger, I would have selected a different place. But, you know, God knows. I would have selected different disciples. I wouldn't have selected the disciples that Jesus selected. I mean, 12. One time I remember sharing a message, Jesus and the Dirty Dozen. You know, I was like, these All guys right. are like, oh my goodness. You know, thank God, you know. But we would have had a resume committee, and we would have selected some of the most learned people.
Mm-hmm.
But God operates outside of that. You know, Jesus went to the Father in prayer, and he did nothing and said nothing that he didn't, you know, see his Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was completely united with the Father. And you look at that, and you say, wow, you know. And I think the big reason why people have frustration, believers have frustration, is because they're trying to do the things of God in their own head. They're not doing it with the heart of God. They're not understanding that you're not going to come to God in your head. It's just not mm-hmm. going to happen. You know what I mean? You're not going to come to God in your head. You're going to come to him with your heart. And today when we think about Nazareth, there's two things that come to mind immediately when I think about Nazareth. One, the place that Jesus came from was the hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And second is the place and the city that rejected Jesus.
Mm.
I mean, think about that as your, you know, biography, if you will. Think about that of your story.
Right.
Where Jesus was born and the same place that rejected him. And I mean, like, wow, you mean like the place, you know, that place of pride and critical and judging and familiar spirit?
Yeah, that's where he grew up, actually.
Where he grew up. And this place that missed the move of God.
Mm-hmm.
It missed the move of God that was headed their way. And many believers say today that they want a move of God in their life. But are they really ready to do what they have to do to receive one? I mean, saying something is a whole lot different than actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the Pharisees. They knew, right, the word of God at the time. They knew the law. They had it all down.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for the Messiah, and the Messiah shows up, and they missed God right in their face. They missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, my goodness, if anybody would know it, maybe, you know, but they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you want a move of God in your life, you must be willing to do what you need to do in order to receive it. You have to prepare your heart, and you have to make war with pride and embrace humility. Because God resists the proud.
Right.
But he gives grace to the humble. And humility is not throwing off what you know. It's saying just you're just not serving what you know. You're right. Open to say, this is the little bit I know, but I'm not going to make, you know, I'm not going to anchor on this. I'm going to anchor on God, and he can change anything at any time. You know, God, you can do. Humility says, God, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, you can say, God, whatever you want to say. Humility says, you can use whoever you want to use. And the thing is, I you know, I just don't want to miss your touch. I don't want to, you know, we don't want to miss God's move. And you don't want to put your mouth on what God's doing. You don't want to speak against what God is doing. The church has had a history at different times, at different moves of God. It's speaking against what God was doing. It's like, you know, what God was doing in one generation would be speaking about the new thing that God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during the rounds of revival, there was these different manifestations that were happening. And when the power of God comes, you know what I'm saying? Your body's going to act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some a woman that her neck, she was in the choir, and her neck would shake all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that were, you know, attacked maybe with, you know, with a critical spirit or something, they were making a big thing about it and got in the news, actually, just this person's faking it or what's happening and all of this type of stuff. And why does she have to shake her head that way? And because it was obvious, like she had some sort of medical condition. It was that obvious. And she's up in the choir, and it didn't fit their paradigm. Someone who's singing worship songs to the Lord is not going to act like that. They're not going to shake their head like that. And she had long hair, and her hair was flapping, and they were just speaking out against it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, Brother Kilpatrick pulls this woman, you know, from the choir, and gives her testimony. And this woman was in a car accident years ago, and her neck, she was not able to move her neck at all.
Wow.
I mean, she had a stiff neck condition. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But she didn't have the fluidity and the movement of her neck. And when God touched her during the Browns revival, he healed her in such a way that her neck, man, bobbled all over the place.
And this like a bobblehead.
Like a bobblehead. See, this is what God's going to do.
Yeah.
But if you're going to speak about what God is doing, you're going to get critical and you're going to start judging, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. The reality is that not everybody in Jesus' time got touched. That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
He kept going. And there were some that recognized that Jesus was on the way, and they were desperate, and they were beating their chest and said, Son of David, have mercy. Said, no, be quiet. No, you don't understand. Jesus is here. And I'm telling you that a move of God is coming. And don't be used. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't be used. You know, I heard of a account where a minister out in California, there was a move of God going on over there, and 1,000 people left their fellowship before the move of God came and totally missed it.
Mm.
1,000 people, and they missed it. But it seemed like they made room for the countless other thousands that came in that huge wave.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. God doesn't have to have us. You know, he doesn't have to have us, and we need to know that going forward so we can prepare ourselves and say, God, have your way and do what you want to do. And we don't want to mess it up. He doesn't need our permission or our theology on God. Okay? He doesn't need our theology. Because God's going to do what he wants to do. We just have to get out of his way. We just have to get out of the way. Listen, the third great awakening is coming. God wants to pour out his spirit on the land. People are getting their hearts ready. We're lining ourselves up and saying, God, we repent. We're searching our hearts. We're getting our lives in order. I want to encourage you, get your life in order. When God comes in and sweeps in, listen, the only thing to do is to bow down, humble yourself, and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Do what you want. You know, and make war on pride. Don't be familiar with the things of God. Don't be familiar with the ones that people are that God's going to be using. God's going to use a wide variety of people in his body.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have judgments in your heart, if you're critical, if you have all those things going on, you're going to criticize what God wants to do, you know, and you're going to miss it. Nazareth missed it. The scriptures say it was his hometown,
mm-hmm.
and they missed it. And two things come common, you know, comes to people's mind when you think of Nazareth. It's like, wow. Come on. Let's not miss what God's going to do. I want to be ready in that season. And I want to say, here I am, Lord. I want to jump all in.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is John Ramos filling in for Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Pat, and we're talking about, my goodness, what God is doing. What God is doing and how he wants to move on the face of the earth, and we just need to prepare our hearts for him and just be ready to receive him. Mm-hmm. You know, just be ready to receive him. So many just did not receive what God's wanted to do throughout history. And you just don't want, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to look back at the tape and be like, you know, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I miss that? And, you know, it's all about him, you know, and, you know, God's called his people, his church, to be people of his presence. You know, we are to be people of his presence. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. I don't know if you've ever, like, walked in a room, a dark room, let's say, and it's pitch black, and you can't see anybody, but you know there's somebody in this room. You can feel their presence. Mm-hmm. They, you know, we have a presence. You can feel it. You can't see them, but you know someone's there. Well, God's presence is so much more than that. It's not just a sensing that someone's in the room. It's an amazing feeling that overwhelms you. It's a life-giving source. And we were meant to be in his presence. You know, there are some characteristics that I feel the Lord shared with me about his presence that I found were just, you know, utterly amazing and true in my experience and true in what I see in the Word of God. But, you know, Moses said, I have to have it, you know, unless you go with me. You know, your presence has to come with me. Moses had to have it. You know, at times priests couldn't stand in it. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Let me tell you, demons can't stand his presence. They have to flee it.
That's right.
There's all sorts of angelic activity in the presence of the Lord. In fact, it's the air angels breathe. The presence of the Lord is the air that angels breathe. His presence, God's presence, is inviting. It's intoxicating. It's life-changing. It's a life source. It literally gives us life. You know, Moses himself went from glory to glory. And the glory of God so shone so powerfully on his face that he glowed. Mm-hmm. He glowed. Adam and Eve were in God's presence. And being in the Lord's presence, it really helps to condition our hearts to receive of God. There's a melting factor, if you will. You know what I mean? Yeah. When you're in the Lord's presence, there is a melting of the heart. There is a softening of the heart, and it really prepares us to receive what God wants to do in us and through us. And we talked about this on a previous program that, you know, of all of God's creation, and Genesis talks about everything the Lord, you know, Father God created, he created us humans with the ability, Pat, to interact with him and to love him, to receive his love and to love him back. Mm-hmm. And to think that man who's made of dirt and dust, that one, that God would be mindful of us, but that two, you would make us with the ability to love you back and to receive your love, and that you gave your son for us. I mean, you'll wreck your mind just thinking about this. Mm-hmm. You'll melt with the understanding of how much God truly, truly loves you and how powerful his presence is. And in Exodus 33, verse 7 says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside of the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meetings. We're familiar with some Tent of Meetings.
Yes.
Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went to the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Mm. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord, and this is the verse that I really want to get to. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You know, there is a communion. There is a place with God. That is a really beautiful thing. And God didn't save us just so that we can be good Christians. God didn't save us so that we can be good citizens. God made us to commune and have fellowship with him. Mm. And that's why you hear us often talk about abiding, 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 because abiding is your opportunity to commune with God. It's you reading his word. It's you hiding his word in your heart. In the beginning was the word. The word was God and was with God, John, right? Mm-hmm. You're spending time with Jesus, and you're taking the time to write down what the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. But also in that time of abiding, you're engaging the Lord in prayer, which is not just speaking to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also hearing. It's taking time to listen to what God wants to say to you. Mm-hmm. You know, prayer is not a laundry list that we say, okay, God, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. All prayer is communication, but all forms of communication involve two ways. It's us speaking and then us, you know, listening. Mm-hmm. And I think we got the speaking part down. I think we got that part down.
All right.
But God wants us to get the listening and the receiving part, and he wants us to sit in his presence. You know, three words I got in the beginning of the year, and I just felt like the Lord spoke them to me during my abiding time, and it was saturate, immerse, and soak. Saturate, immerse, and soak. And I feel like that's what God's heart is for us. He wants us to saturate and immerse and soak ourselves in him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that are vying for people's attention today. You got 24-hour news cycle, you got 10,000 programs that are available. You got the internet. You got digital devices on your hand. You got tablets. You have, you know, Sirius radio. You got all this stuff available, constantly vying for your attention. And God wants all of your attention. He wants your whole heart. He wants your eyes completely on him. He wants to be with you.
Right.
And he wants us to be just immersed in him. When I think about the word immerse, it means to plunge into a place under a liquid, to baptize, to dunk. The word saturate means to impregnate thoroughly. Some synonyms means immerse or infuse and penetrate. But the word soak means to pass a liquid through pores and to be thoroughly wet. And when I think about a sponge, you know, a dry sponge is useless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A sponge is only useful when it's designed to soak up water, every bit of it. And the more it has, the heavier and the weighty it is. And when you just barely pick up a soaked sponge, you used to wash the car and you get those big old giant sponges.
All right.
Just barely picking it up. You can't even hold the sponge without the water just oozing out of it. But let me tell you, that's what God wants. He wants us to soak him all in, soak in his word, so that when people press up against us and when we're in situations that just the presence of God can come off of us, that the word of God will flow from us, that it'll be on our heart and be on our mind. Let me tell you, we're living in days that we're going to need to be all in God. If you're not in all in already, you're going to need to soak him up. And you got to decide, do I want to dip my toe in God? Do I want to splash God on me? Or do I want to be fully immersed and soaked in God? And God's presence brings true transformation. His presence will totally change us. And you know, I had an experience. I wish I had really had more time to share it, but I had a time in my life where, you know, I thought that I just needed to read more and learn more. And hey, if I learned and got some wisdom, and I just thought that I would just apply it, things would just change. And some of that is true, and some of that did happen. But in my own personal experience, there was a period in my life where I had about 90 days where all I did, and my schedule allowed it, And things just opened up for me where all I did was just soak and just spend time and worship God and abide. And I noticed that in his presence and all this striving and all these 10 steps and all the stuff that I'd write down and all these ladders I'd try to climb, I couldn't change it myself. Mm. Trust me, I tried. You know what I'm saying? Right. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. Memorization, you know, highlighter, you know, I came here real, you know, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But moments in God's presence was like surgery being performed in my heart. And God was just realigning things and just changing me. And he was taking me to a place where he was just literally massaging and molding and pulling things out and healing. And it was a beautiful experience. We are meant to behold him and take him in. And it's a lot like, you know, I love pickles, but, you know, before pickle can become a pickle, it's actual cucumber that's soaking in some brine or some vinegar, and mm-hmm. it goes through a process where it comes from a pickle, a cucumber, to become a pickle. You know, we need to soak so much in God that it begins to transform us and change us. And it's not just about soaking, because once we've done our personal and abiding time in soaking, there's a time in our life that we're supposed to stand in the presence of God and minister in the presence of God and declare his word in his presence. Listen, I don't want to be anywhere where God's presence is not honored, where he's not glorified. We want to be people of his presence, people that know God, that walked with God, that talk with him face to face like Moses. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Today, I call you my friend. Don't worry about being a title or this or that. Listen, just go after being a friend of God. Is he your friend? Do you know him? Do you wake up with him in the morning? Do you go to sleep with him with your mind? Choose today to be his friend. Love him and soak in his presence. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.